Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
And grace, I'll see wreck like me. But now I'm found. Oh man, but now I see it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Eternal God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank you once again, Lord, for allowing us to be on your program this morning. Thank you for the songs that have been sung, prayers that have been rendered, words that have been spoken. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, give me preaching power, that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. The glorious, precious name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And then, Lord, we pray if there be a lost soul in our midst, that a word would touch them, cause them to come running, crying out, what must I do to be saved? In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Man, mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. To Evangelist Lively, to Minister Newsom, to Dr. B.J., Melvin, the office, members of this great church. It is just good for us to be here. And I'm always delighted to see Brother Haverty comes and visit with us. Enjoys having him in our presence. I like him to just make himself at home because he's in his daddy's house. We're glad to have you. Touch the person next to you and say, I'm glad you're sitting by me. Maybe we can make a connection with Jesus Christ together. Amen. Together. We make a connection with Jesus Christ now. Make it plain now. Them young folks say, don't get it twisted now. Amen, amen. Thank God for you. I tell you, look like each day, I don't know how you feel about me, but there's a great love that I have for God and this church. If you know that or not, but it's a great love. I love you. Just don't know how much I love you. I was at St. Matthew, my home church, watched my grandkids get baptized, and I was going to stay. It looked like some just say, you need to go back home. I tried as hard as I could. I said, no, I got to go to Mount Holly. I said, Pastor, he called me. I said, I got to go to Mount Holly. I said, yeah, I figured you would. Go on, son. He know me pretty well. But I do. I really love this church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the individuals, the peoples here. You know. It's my heart. You're right there close to, I said, God, Mildred and them grandkids. I know you know I love them grandkids. Yeah, boy, I tell you, I just thank God. That's a word this morning from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, the first five verses. And when you have the time, you may want to read the entire 15th chapter. And if anyone ever asks you, what is the gospel? It's right there in a nutshell.
Yes, sir.
Between verses 1 through 4. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. If they say, ask you, what is the gospel? You can take them right there to 1 Corinthians 15. That's it. Right there. That's it. But we try to make it relevantly to life today. And the word of our Lord said, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaim to you, which you welcome and accepted up, and upon which your faith rests, and by which you are saved by the gospel. If you hold fast now and keep firmly what I have preached to you, unless you believe at first without effect and all for nothing. For I passed on to you, first of importance, what I also had received, that Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for our sins, in accordance with what the scriptures foretold, Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 12, that he was buried, that he arose on the third day as the scripture foretold, Psalm 16, verse 9 and 10, and also that he appeared to disciples, Peter, then to the 12. May God bless the reader and hearer of his divine word. I want to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We have no future. Our faith is in vain. Yes, the preaching is in vain. Right. And the gospel does not explain the resurrection, but the resurrection explains the gospel. From the words of the late Billy Graham. This letter that Paul writes to the city of Corinth, it was a Greek metropolitan city, seaport. And the Greeks, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And when Paul had preached at Athens and declared the fact of Christ's resurrection, some of his listeners actually laughed at him. Most Greek philosophers considered the human body as a prison, and they welcomed death as a means of deliverance from bondage. This skeptical attitude had somehow invaded the church, and Paul had to face it head on. It's important to note that the believers at Corinth did believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but yet there were some that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12 said, but now if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul, right there, he begins his dialogue on the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the gospel of Jesus Christ. To deny the resurrection, we deny one of the greatest of all truths of the gospel. Our preaching would be in vain. Faith and hope would be in vain. We would even still be in sin. Because Jesus got up. No dead Savior could save anybody. Now others got up, but they had to go back in the grave sooner or later. But he that was dead is now alive forevermore. Without his resurrection, there would be no meaning to the gospel. And we would be worshiping a dead Christ. There would be no good news, no glad tidings. There would be no proof that God had accepted Christ's death as an atonement for our sin. Yes, in the text, Paul gives us three proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to assure us that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Yes. His first proof is our salvation. The gospel message that Paul had preached to the Corinthians, that they had welcomed it according to the script. In other words, they had accepted it. They had taken a stand in their faith on the message that Paul had preached. And that is what saved them. Their lives had been transformed by their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul had told us that in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Preaching of the gospel has the capacity, it has the power to make us whole, to make us complete. At every thought, the gospel that's manifest in Jesus Christ, we see that folks were made whole. That centurion's servant was not just healed. He was made whole. Jairus' daughter that was raised from the dead, but she was made whole. That woman with the issue of blood that had been sick for 12 long years, and just a touch of his hem of his garment, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. The gospel makes us whole, because without the gospel, we are fragmented. Sin breaks us up and breaks us down, but the gospel picks us up and builds us up.
when we accept it and we believe in it. Amen. And Paul says that the second proof is the Old Testament scripture.
Yes, sir.
Validates what was going to happen even before it happened.
Yes,
here Paul says to us, for I passed on to you first of all, which means of first importance, the gospel, the first importance, the most important message the church will ever proclaim, that Christ died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. He was seen. The basic historical facts upon which the gospel stands. Christ died for our sins. That's the theological estimation of his historical facts. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Paul wrote according to the scripture, referring to the Old Testament scripture. Psalm 16:10 tells us, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let the Holy One see decay. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12 speaks of Christ's death 700 years before it even happened. See, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Without this truth of the gospel, Christ's death would be worthless. Those who believe in Christ would still be in sin without hope. But however, Christ, as the sinless Son of God, took the punishment of sin, died in our place, that we would become the righteousness of God. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Romans 5:8 says, But God demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were yet doing our own thing, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet lost, wretched, he died for us. The righteous died for the unrighteous. The just died for the unjust. The innocent died for the guilty. He died in our place, but he didn't stay there. So we have proof of the Old Testament. We have proof of our own salvation. Christ's death on the cross, it wasn't no accident, no afterthought. It had been a part of God's plan from all eternity in order to bring about the salvation of all who believe. Christ died in our place, satisfying the demands of a holy God. He rose boldly, bodily, from the grave. Through personal faith in Christ, we can be delivered from eternal punishment in hell and live eternally in his presence. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're even saved from the appearance of sin through his death. And we will be saved from the presence of sin when we go home to be with him. Ain't that good news? That's good news you can use. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was our atoning, sacrificial substitute at Calvary. The just died, as I told you, for the unjust. The pure for the impure, the innocent for the guilty, the holy suffer for the unholy. He died for your sins and my sins. That's proof. That's proof that the resurrection gives us hope. Even Isaiah said in chapter 53, 700 years before Jesus showed up on the scene, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace is upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Not only do we have proof with our salvation, not only do we have proof
for the scripture. But finally, we have proof by the witnesses.
Amen. Come on now.
Yeah, we have proof by the witnesses. At verse 5, he said that he appeared to Cyprus, Peter. Then the 12.
Come on now.
That man, Simon Peter.
Yes, sir.
Jesus appeared privately. Mm-hmm. Why Peter, you may ask?
Come on now.
Well, it was done because that was the thing to do.
Yes, sir.
A loving Savior.
Yeah.
He didn't reject anybody.
No,
still don't reject anybody. And after Peter had denied him,
come on, there you go. That's right.
Peter had to get things straightened out with the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus meeting with Peter assures us
right.
He's the God of another chance.
Yes, sir.
You know, in Mark's gospel, when he gave the message to the ladies, he told, go and tell the disciples and Peter. I want Peter to know he's still in the family. That's what I like about the gospel. You may error, but he don't put you out the family. You're still in the family. That don't give you a license to do wrong. But he don't kick you to the curb. Because you made a mistake. Because you sinned. Because you disobeyed him. But he kicked you in the family. And hope and change will come. Jesus said, then that was 500 eyewitnesses.
Yes, right.
But then Paul said, I saw him for myself.
Yes, right.
On the back road of Damascus.
Come on.
I saw him.
Yes.
He asked me, why I pricked against him. I saw him. He blinded me, knocked me down, scales on my eyes, and told me to go to Straight Street Baptist Church. I saw him 3 days, 3 nights. I was blind. Didn't eat, didn't drink no water, but prayed. So I told Adam, I said, I want you to go down there now, lay hands on Paul. You must don't know that fellow. He's dangerous. Said, no, he's all right now. Because he's been fasting and praying. Huh? Laid his hands on him. Scales fell from his eye. And from that day on, he was preaching the gospel. Paul would even find one day he would say, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. You know, sometimes we just think we so much of that. We're a bag of potato chips or whatever. But we just dirt. If you think you ain't dirt, get you a white handkerchief and wipe your face. Wash your face and wipe it again. We just dirt. Some is dirtier than others, but we still dirt. And we going back to dirt. Paul said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But I am what I am because of his amazing grace. Then Paul said, I work harder than anybody in the vineyard because he saved me. See, when God saved you, you ought to want to do something other than talk. So you got a lot of members that talk and sit. And that's all they do. Sit and talk. Sit and talk. Sit and talk. Sit and talk. And start. While they sitting and talk, they get some mess together. And if you listen, not long enough, if you just listen, they'll go, you hear. But when you're on the large side, you ought to want to do the right thing. Nike came out with a commercial. I'm just about finished. They said, just do it. We know enough scripture, my darling. Just do what you know. You know he said to love your enemy. Just do it. You know he said love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor live next door to you. Your neighbor's in Barbarian. I know I'm saying it wrong, but y'all know what I'm talking about, where the storm is. Those are our neighbors. They are our neighbors. Because they are in need. And they putting up there where you can send a little money. And you ought to do that. Help those people because they are stressed out. Your neighbor may be somebody that lives way on the other side of town. And he may not look like you, but he's still your neighbor. So Paul here is saying that I am what I am by the grace of God. And you know what? You are who you are by the grace of God. Had it not been for God's grace, we wouldn't be here this morning, Mount Holland. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus said to him in Matthew's gospel, for as Jonah was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And I come by to tell you that Christ is alive and well. Herod couldn't kill him. Satan couldn't seduce him. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hey, Jesus, where's your victory? Did you hear Jesus tell John in Revelation 1 and 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. I stopped by my knowledge to tell you the gospel of God is the answer to a bad reputation. The gospel is here to let us know no one is too lost to be found. No one is too low to be lifted up. Too far out to be brought in. Too dirty to be washed. Too hungry to be filled. Too sorrow to be saved. I come to tell you the gospel is the way out. Yes, yeah, the songwriter I heard the other day say, the Lord won't bring you to anything that he won't bring you through. So whatever the Lord has brought you to this morning, he will see you through. Ain't God all right? The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the fact that he died for your sin. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And I learned a long time ago, anytime you're going to borrow something, you got to give it back. Yeah, they laid him in the borrowed tomb all night, Friday night, all day Saturday, but early, bright early Sunday morning, before the Farmer Brown could get the eggs from the hen house and get the bacon from the hog, he got up with all power in his hand. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry. Good evening, my darling. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Hold on. After a while, it'll be all right. He will take care of you. Won't he do it? He'll put bread on your table. Won't he do it? Put clothes on your back. Won't he do it? Put a shelter over your head. Won't he do it? Whatever you got this morning, it ain't none of yours. It all belongs to the Lord. He's just letting you manage it for a little while. Reason why I know it ain't ours, because you're going to leave it. I ain't seen no trailer behind a hearse going to the cemetery. All I see